Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is the myth of compatibility. And the numbers to call if you want to talk about your relationships or having what you want in any area of your life are 1-866-254-1579. It's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach us on 001-760-918-4300. And I'm going to do a special thing today. I'm going to give away copies of a book that I absolutely love about relationships. I've over the years, those of you who listen to the show know that I'm kind of book obsessive. I used to run bookshops in the United Kingdom, and I love books. And I read, you know, 3, 4, or 5 books a week. And when it comes to relationships, there aren't very many that I like. And I found one a couple months back that I just think is one of the most useful, best written, friendliest relationship books that's out there. It's called The Relationship Handbook, A Simple Guide to Satisfying Relationships by George Pransky. And so I'm actually going to be giving away copies to anyone who gets on the air today so that you can play with that. But, you know, you always can order your own copy. You can get it through through Amazon. And just before we go to the phones, the number's again, 1-866-254-1579. It's toll-free. You can listen to the show while you wait online, 866-254-1579. I just want to talk a little bit about what I mean when I say the myth of compatibility, because most people think that one of the keys to a successful relationship is you know, we're compatible, you know, and one of the signs that a relationship isn't working is, well, you know, we're just too different. And there is a grain of truth in that. In other words, if you don't feel connected to your partner, yeah, that's going to be an issue. But the idea that you're supposed to be the same, that you're supposed to have the same beliefs, the same ideas, the same attitudes towards things in order to get on, doesn't really follow. There's a, you know, famous nursery rhyme, Jack Sprat. Jack Sprat could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean, so twixt them both they cleared the cloth and licked the platter clean. What you got to look at is, you know, this is a line from George Pransky's book. Today's incompatibility was yesterday's refreshing difference. In other words, relationships are by design complementary. In other words, you know, there are things about you, physically, mentally, and emotionally, that fit really well with things about the other person that if they were the same, they wouldn't fit. It's the fact that they're different that makes them work. And you can fill in the blanks in your pictures about what the, you know, all the different versions of that that there are out there. And so the idea that you're supposed to be the same, that people are supposed to think like you in order for you to get along. You know, people do these lists, especially since The Secret came out. Everyone's got their list of the one. You know, okay, they're going to be like this, and they're going to be like this, and they're going to be like this. And the reality of most relationships that I, certainly with people that I've worked with, and I've worked with, you know, hundreds of couples over the years from a coaching point of view, is that the ones that got on best are not the ones that started out most alike. Now, I'm going to, in one of the second or third segment, I'm going to share with you my sort of theory on why a soulmate is like a ski boot. So that's probably worth staying tuned for. But in the meantime, let's go to the phones. Let's talk about your relationships. And let's begin with Melissa in Hebron, Kentucky. Melissa, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Very intriguing to me because I feel I've been married, will be 30 years. It's just 29, so it'll be 30 in next summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been a struggle, to say the least. We have 4 children.
Mm-hmm.
3 grown, 1 a surprise of our life at 40. So it was, I kind of had thought before, you know, I will get these 3 kids raised and then I will end this.
Mm-hmm.
And then this child comes in. It's like, okay, this is my sign that I'm not supposed to leave here. God's telling me this is where you're supposed to be.
Subtle clues.
It is, yes. And
yeah.
I think deep down, I really believe that we are supposed to be together.
Mm-hmm.
But two people could not be more different. And I understand that refreshing differences. And I don't want him to be just like me. I really don't. But when everything repulses me, and it's like, I have every self-help marriage book that's ever been written, I think. And how long is too long to, should it be this hard after this long? It's not that he's a bad person. He's not. at all.
Okay. So listen, I can hear even in the way that you talk about it that, you know, there's still a fundamental respect there.
Absolutely.
And a fundamental appreciation. And that is one of the things that I listen for when I talk to a couple or one part of a couple to kind of get a sense of where they're at. You guys are, it's going to be easier than you think, Melissa.
Okay.
And the reason being is that there's just one or two fundamental misapprehensions that almost all of us got about relationships that make it a lot harder to just really enjoy the relationship and have a wonderful time. You know, it's, you know, this idea, you know, surely a marriage has to be worked at. Well, yeah. I mean, you, it's probably really useful for you to be willing to do that and to not just run away at the first sign of it being a bit tricky. You know, so in that sense, I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. But no, it doesn't need to be that difficult on a daily basis. So I want to share a couple of ideas with you and just, you know, you can check out how they fit for you.
Okay.
You know, one is that the issue is never going to be the nature of a difference between two people or the size of the difference or the number of differences. The difference is always going to be whether or not you think those differences are important. In other words, you know, if you could be, you know, let's say, a chain smoking, heavy drinking, what's the opposite of a womanizer, a manizer? I don't know. Whatever that would be. Mm-hmm. That's only a problem if it's a problem for me. In other words, if I decide that those things shouldn't be that way, that you're supposed to be different. Now, I'm not saying that you want to stay with somebody who's like that and all that. I'm just saying even at that extreme, the problem isn't the differences. The problem is deciding that those differences are more important than the relationship. So I'm going to try and make this as simple as I can. The purpose of a relationship, and for me, from my point of view, particularly a marital relationship, and I'm coming up on 20 years, so you got 10 years on me, you know, so, you know, maybe I'll still get learned some, you know, but the purpose of a relationship is to enjoy each other's company.
We don't.
Right. But that, if you allow that, see, I, you know, if you've listened to the show, you know, I'm a coach, not a therapist. Mm-hmm. So I like to give people experiments to go away and play with. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to ask you to make the purpose of your relationship and the purpose of your relating within the relationship just to be to enjoy his company. And now that, you know, right now I say that and you might go, well, that's just not possible. Mm-hmm. But my guess is you haven't been able to do it because it's felt like, you know, first we got to clear up this and we got to clear up this and we got to handle this and we got to work through this. And what I'm saying is, just for now, just as an experiment, you know, you've gone almost 30 years. You can go a couple more weeks.
Sure.
Allow those things to remain unresolved and allow them to be less important than enjoying each other's company. So you get, in other words, what I'm doing is I'm giving you 2 weeks off from working on your relationship.
Okay.
And I want you to notice what happens and how your experience changes. And I want to give you one more piece with this so that you can really play with it.
Okay.
I want you to notice that over the next 2 weeks, and this would be true of any 2 weeks we picked, your mood is going to go up and down. There are going to be times where you're in a better mood and times where you're in a worse mood. And I want you to notice that when you're in a worse mood, you're going to be having more thoughts about how incompatible you are, and there'll be probably some sort of a sense of, God, you know, we've got to get this worked out. I mean, I know Michael told me to take 2 weeks off, but this is ridiculous. We've got to sort this out. And you're going to have thoughts about how, you know, it's not really working and it's never really worked. And when you're in a good mood, you're just not going to have most of those thoughts. You might still notice some of those things. Wow, yeah, that's a really different way of doing things. I wouldn't do it that way. But it's not going to feel the same. Now, the reason that that's significant is most of us have learned to believe what we think when we're in a bad mood and to dismiss what we think when we're in a good mood. So it's like, well, yeah, I mean, when I'm in a good mood, when something good's happened, when we're feeling close, sure, none of this seems like a problem, but really it is, because when I'm in a bad mood, it's all there. And it's the exact opposite. When you're in a bad mood, your thinking can't be trusted. Because you're thinking in that, you're looking through this dark filter and everything's going to look ugly. Anything that still seems like it's worth working on when you're in a good mood, well, that's real. But the reality is in most relationships, most of the stuff will work itself out if it matters. and will and will become a bigger and bigger and bigger deal if you only look at it when you're kind of feeling down about it. And it's again, it's this fundamental backwards thing that we've all got in our relationships is we wait till we're kind of mad at each other to talk. It's like, now, okay, I'm really pissed off with you. We got to talk about this.
No, we don't.
Well, but that's actually, do you know what? That's actually good.
We don't. I mean, we're not confrontational. I'm not.
You know, but when you guys are feeling more connected, mm-hmm. you know, in those moments, because it'll happen, you know, you'll have your moments mm-hmm. when you're in a better state. Then if there's something to talk about, then you can talk about it. If there's something, you know, to sort. But not for the next 2 weeks. Because for the next 2 weeks, your job, your mission, should you choose to accept it, mm-hmm. is just to enjoy the relationship. And you can go back to fixing them and getting it right in a couple weeks' time.
Okay, I have a question.
Great.
You know when you're at a party and there's this person who's like the know-it-all and the bore, and you think, I cannot wait to get home and get away from this person?
Yeah, I think that's usually me. But yeah, go ahead.
I come home with that person.
Okay, so
I think I love him, but I really don't like him.
So if you want, I'll give you a bonus assignment too.
Good.
Okay.
I need all the assignments back.
All right. I want you to take one of his habits that annoys you.
Uh-huh.
Just one.
Okay.
And just for the next week, so this is going to be two-part assignment, okay? For the first week, I want you to take one of his habits that annoys you, and just for the week, make it okay with you. Just decide. You know what? Just for this week, whatever. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to make it okay just for 1 week. Then I'll go back to hating it if I want to.
Okay.
The second week, I want you to take one habit of yours that annoys him, and I want you to stop doing it just for a week.
Okay.
And so you can combine that with you're not working on him at all or the relationship at all. But you're going to just, when it comes to the relationship, you're just going to enjoy each other's company as best you can. That's it. That's the only thing you got to do.
Okay.
And then you're going to do these two things for yourself. You up for the challenge?
I'm up for it.
Fantastic. So I look forward. So, you know, do either call us back in a couple weeks, okay. Or if you go to the forums at geniuscatalyst.com, you can, on the radio show forum, you can let us know how you're getting on and ask more questions, and we'll take it from there. All right. Thanks for phoning in, Melissa. Make sure you leave your name and address with Joe on the board so we can send you out a copy of the... if you just stay on the line, somebody will talk to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for phoning in. Okay, let's go to Alyssa in L.A. Alyssa in L.A., welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, I'm calling. I am a single and I'm dating. And, of course, I'm looking for compatibility, and I also have my list of what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also still single. And I'm wondering, you know, what I can do to open myself up. Because maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm looking for too many compatibilities or just missing the mark in some way.
Well, okay. So a lot of times when people make those lists, they get a little bit too detailed.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you're saying to the universe, okay, universe, I know you're benevolent. I know you know what's best for me. But what's best for me is going to be 6 foot tall or taller. He's going to have black hair. You know, he's going to earn this much money a year, and I'm going to meet him through one of these three places. You know, so it's yeah. like, you know, you're putting out, oh yeah, I trust the universe, I'm open to this, but you're actually then trying to steer the river.
Okay.
So the way to kind of check your checklist is, you know, how much of this is, you know, just what I think I'd like, and is there anything on the list that's an absolute yes or an absolute no? So what you want to do is get your list down to anything that you are not interested if it's there, or you are not interested if it's not there.
Okay.
You know, so for some people that might be an absolute no, might be, you know, no drugs,
right?
You know, no violence, you know, those are good absolute no's.
Right.
You know, an absolute yes for some people might be to do with sharing a religion. It might be to do with wanting kids, not wanting kids, mm-hmm. something like that. But other than that, notice what happens over the next few weeks if you take all the rest of the stuff off the list.
Okay.
Because what you really want to tune into when you're with somebody is, how do I feel when I'm with them?
Okay.
You know, do I like me when I'm with them? Do I enjoy that? Do I feel good? Do I feel alive? And you gotta watch it a little bit because, you know, you can feel alive just because, you know, you're horny.
Right.
You know, so you want to kind of look past that a little bit if you're looking for something more than a great hookup.
Right.
But But it's still, there's a certain sense of, very often with guys, I'm going to wrap this up because we're coming up on a break, but very often with guys, what I find is when they've met somebody who really is great for them, mm-hmm. you know, and I go, hey, how'd the date go? They'll go, yeah, it was good. I'll go, what do you mean? And they go, well, yeah, it was good. We really had fun. And what's not there is that crazy, mad spark. But what is there is the beginnings, the seed of a real friendship and a real love affair.
Okay.
So play with that. And remember to give your name and address to Joe on the boards. If you want to call in the next segment, the numbers are 1-866-254-1579. Toll free, 1-866-254-1579. Everyone who calls in and gets on the air will get a free copy of The Relationship Handbook, A Simple Guide to Satisfying Relationships by George Prensky. And I will be back with more calls and more thoughts right after this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back and we're talking about the myth of compatibility, and we're taking calls throughout the show. And if you get on air with me today, I'm going to send you out a copy of The Relationship Handbook, A Simple Guide to Satisfying Relationships by George Prensky. Just before I go back to the phones, and if you're on hold, hang on, I'm going to get you on. But I want to just talk a little bit about this idea of, you know, why a soulmate is like a ski boot, because this is very relevant to Alyssa, our last caller. You know, one of the things almost everyone I work with who's single and doesn't want to be, you know, is looking for a soulmate, but they're looking for them off the rack. They're trying to find their perfect partner ready made sitting on the shelf waiting for them. And I remember one client, their list was, all I want is someone who's good looking, sexy, tall, has an amazing body, really smart, great conversationalist, good hygiene, smells nice, makes me feel special, is sensitive to my moods and loves to listen more than talk. Here's the thing, you know, genetic engineering is progressing. One day you may be able to kind of like put in your order like that, and it's going to come back to you. And one of the bizarre things I've noticed about people who attract their partners through The Secret is often they do find somebody who fits the list, but then it doesn't work out because it's like, well, the list was there, but I forgot to put really loves me and I love them and we want to be together. You know, at the moment, unless you're willing to date a sheep, genetic engineering isn't going to find your perfect mate for you. So I find that if you want to find your perfect partner, the best metaphor I know is actually about is buying ski boots. And let me explain. So if you ski, you know that finding a ski boot that fits well is really difficult. And because you need it to be snug so that you can control the skis, but you also need it to keep your feet warm, and you need it to give you control, but you need it to give you flexibility of movement. And there's a number of good brands, but when I was growing up, the creme de la creme, the best ski boots were called PKs. I think they were named after a skier named Peter Kennedy. And in order to find the perfect pair of PK ski boots, what you did is you'd pick out a shell that suited you. So it would be approximately the right size, you'd like the colors, a look that appealed to you. And then you'd cover your feet in these plastic baggies and you'd stand in the shell it would seem like, you know, years, but it, you know, it turned out to be, you know, for a couple hours, and they'd pour this odd goopy stuff around your feet, and it would mold to your foot. And this is that idea of, you know, what some people describe as incompatible, it's complementary. In other words, the mold has to fit your foot, which means it can't be the same shape as your foot. It has to fit it, but it doesn't fit it when they first pour it in. It forms over time. And by standing in the shell for long enough as that stuff pours in and molds, it ensures that like every nook and cranny of your foot, or look, if we're talking about relationships, every nook and cranny of your personality, you know, begins to fit. And the boots themselves never need replacing. If the inside material starts to wear out, which does happen from time to time, you know, or your foot, you know, when I got them when I was young, your foot might change in size or shape. You can still keep the shell, but you'd go back through the molding process until you once again, you know, have a relationship or ski boot that fits you like a glove. Now, that's not to say if your foot changed dramatically, which could certainly happen, you know, especially if you started out dating or skiing when you were really young, you might need at some point to pick out a new shell. But generally speaking, you never need to replace the shell. You just need to sit in it in a new way as the goop kind of forms to you again. So here's how you can apply this, and then we're going to go back to the phones. Numbers are 866-254-1579, toll free, 866-254-1579. If you're looking for a partner right now, what constitutes your shopping list? And yes, you have one. Even if you've never articulated it, it's the mental checklist that, you know, it lets you sort out, you know, who you're interested in, who you're not when you're at a party or you're at a social event or you're at the supermarket. So go through your list. And this is sort of like what I said to Alyssa, the absolute yes and the absolute no. If you were only allowed three things, which three things would you choose? So those three things, whatever the three things you would choose, those are the shell of your ideal relationship. And when you find somebody who fits these minimal criteria, what you can know is that the rest of what really matters will evolve as you live and learn and love together over time. Every couple that I've been with, that I've spent time with, that I've worked with, where they're more in love as time goes on, they say, God, we're so much more compatible now than we were when we met. You know, they say people wind up looking like their dogs. Well, it's the same thing in a relationship. You know, trying to change your partner on purpose, well, that's, you know, pretty much everyone knows that's going to be a nightmare and that's going to be a problem. But understand that when you spend a lot of time with somebody, you will change, and so will they. And you'll change to sort of fit each other. It's just a natural process. It's not because you're trying to make them change. It's just the power of your being and their being, being in the same place in the same time over time. Now, one other thing I'll just add to that is make sure that loving kindness is on your list of prerequisites, or at the very least, you know, that not taking mental or physical risks while you wait for your partner to change is there. That's, I find that's a really important. I guess the other tip I would say is, you know, be aware that the molding process can take time, and trying to force yourself, and, you know, a lot of people do this, trying to force yourself to fit into someone else's list, into someone else's ideal, that would be like going skiing in someone else's ski boots. It's at best, it's going to be uncomfortable, and at worst, it's going to be downright dangerous. So with all that said, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Gladys in San Diego. Gladys, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi. I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good, good. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm divorced for 6 years. I have two teenage kids. They're 14 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
I've dated a man for a year. They don't like him, but I enjoy his company. We don't have many things in common. I don't think it's a long-term relationship. We have a lot of differences. So I'm wondering, you know, is it worth spending my time with him, even though I do enjoy being with him for now, knowing that he's not long-term, and maybe I should just, you know, end it and leave it open for the right person to come, or sometimes, because my kids don't want me to date at all, so sometimes I wonder if it's worth the aggravation, you know, of still dating him.
Well, so you've told me about what your kids want. You've told me about what isn't present in the relationship you're currently in. What do you want? If I could wave my magic wand right now, my relationship wand, and give you anything you wanted in a relationship, what kind of a relationship would you most love to have?
I would like to have a relationship where the person is loving, kind, and compassionate,
mm-hmm.
and is in touch with his emotions.
Okay. And what would you, you know, what would that do for you? If you were in a relationship with somebody who was loving, kind, and compassionate, and in touch with their emotions, what would that give you?
I think I will feel more connected to that person. I will feel that it's something worth putting up with, in my kids' aggravation, putting up with anything. It's worth pursuing.
Okay. So do you think that you're more likely to be in a loving, kind, compassionate, connected relationship if you stay with this person that you're currently with, or if you move on?
I don't think he has. I mean, he's been a very nice person, but he's not connected with his emotions, so probably I don't think he's the one, so it would have to be somebody else,
Okay. So that's sort of, you know, I always prefer in something like this to let you answer your own question, because I'm not in your life, you know, I'm never going to say to somebody, well, the only time I will say to somebody break up is if there's physical abuse, get out. That's my bias, and I'm going to stick with it. But other than that, you know, I don't like to kind of step in. You know, I've known you for almost 2 minutes now, Gladys, and I can tell. You know, the reality is it's your life, it's your relationship. But if what you're wanting is this loving, kind, compassionate, connected relationship, and it's just, you just kind of go, this isn't it. Well, chances are pretty good that anything else other than that is more likely to be it. So it's again, it's trusting yourself, not me. I'm not saying break up. I'm saying get that. This is what you want. you knew the answer. You didn't have to stop and think for 10 minutes when I asked you, do you think, you know, that you're going to have better luck getting it by staying where you are, by moving on.
Right.
You know, so it's just a case of listening to yourself.
Okay, so I guess I better end it then, because I don't want to settle.
Yeah, and again, you know, that's it, the one thing that I would just say is when you make that decision, make sure you're in the best place you can be in yourself. In other words, don't make it out of anger, don't make it out of fear, don't make it out of urgency, because urgency is always false in something like this.
Well, I kind of sort of been stalling just to see how things develop. I mean, we've been dating for a year, and, you know, it's just, the one thing that really bothers me is that he doesn't pay anything for me. Every time we go on a date, we always split it 50-50, and sometimes when I see other of my friends, you know, their boyfriends or husbands, they pay for their things, and you know, sometimes it's okay because I go, well, I can afford it. That's okay. But I just feel that, you know, I don't know. I just feel that it's weird, you know.
So, well, okay. So let me just address that directly, though.
Okay.
That's part of the myth of compatibility. In other words, it's not that he doesn't pay. It's that for you, it's important that he does. And now, does he know that? Have you had that chat?
Yes, but he feels that he needs to save everything that he can because he's supporting his mom and he's a saver, you know.
Okay. So here becomes the question for you. Okay. And any answer is okay, but just make sure it's your answer. Is it more important to you to create a wonderful relationship with this guy or that he pays for your dinner?
Both.
Maybe. The thing is, part of it isn't up to you. He's either going to pay for your dinner or he's not.
Right.
So the question, so again, that's not the relevant question. The relevant question is just, you know, because the relevant question is always going to be the one that you've got some control over.
Right. Well, I've enjoyed the relationship that we had. It's not, like I said, it's not 100% of what I wanted, but it's close, but I enjoyed it. So I've been staying with him. But I know long term it's gonna, you know, bother me that he should at least every once in a while offer to pay.
Okay. What's behind that? Why is that where you're gonna make your stand? You know what? It was perfect. You know, we have wonderful life together. But you know, you part your hair on the right, and I could just never be with a man who parts his hair on the right. Why is this the place that you're making your stand? I'm not saying you shouldn't, but why is this the one? What does it mean to you when someone doesn't pay for you?
I guess what it means to me that if he loves me enough or more than he says he does, I think it would mean to me that he would share everything, including his money, with me.
So let me ask another. You know, I'm deliberately asking these questions in the least in a slightly provocative way. Would you like his mother to be on the street so that you can have dinner paid for you?
No, definitely not.
Okay. So all that I'm saying in terms of this, and this has nothing to do with whether you should stay or you should go. It sounds like you're pretty clear on that. But just this is a great thing, because if you clear this up in this relationship, you won't create it again in the next one.
Okay.
Is if you focus on the thing that you don't like, then that thing will get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's the nature of the mind. Whatever we focus on expands. If you focus on what you can learn from him, I mean, somebody else could look at that and go, finally, I've met somebody who's compassionate and caring and is willing to even, hurt his own ego, because every guy, you know, wants to feel like the white knight and, you know, wants to be able to take the girl out, who's willing to even risk his own ego because he cares so much about his mom. Now, I'm not saying that one is more accurate than the other, but somebody else could call in the show. Probably somebody else has and said pretty much that about a guy like that.
Right.
So it's really just to do with where do you want to put, what do you want to make important? And if you want to make his compassion important, you're going to have one experience of being with him. And if you want to make his tight-fisted lack of caring about you important, well, then that's what's going to become important. Now, neither of those are reasons to stay or go. The reason you stay or go is because you consult your inner knowing, you tune into yourself, you put your hand on your heart, you breathe into your heart, you create good feelings in your body, and you ask yourself, your inner knowing, your intuition, your inner inspiration, what do I need to do to take care of myself in this situation? And you'll know. And that won't have anything to do with the reasons that you might make up for it. So the myth of compatibility isn't saying that you can be with anybody or you should be with anybody because compatibility is not the issue. It's just saying, don't confuse difference with a reason to stay or a reason to go. Does that make sense?
Right. I should now be focused on our differences and the way we spend our money. I should be focused on what I really want in a relationship.
Absolutely. Because there will always, whoever you're with, there will be things about them that aren't the way that you would like it to be. I will guarantee you that. Okay. Don't offer many guarantees, but I'll guarantee that. So the question isn't, can I find somebody who there are no differences with? The question is, when I tune into myself, is this something I want to have in my life? Is this somebody I'd like to share my life with? Is this somebody I'd like to share time with? Is this somebody that I really want to give over a whole chunk of my life to? And if the answer is yes, fantastic. And if the answer is no, great. Move on.
Okay.
All right, Gladys.
Thank you. That's so clear. Thanks.
All right. Take good care of yourself. We are going to be back with more of your calls and more thoughts on the myth of compatibility. If you're on the line, please stay on. I will get to you. If you're not on the line, but you want to talk about what's going on in your relationship, the numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. That's 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. Everyone who gets on the air with me today will get a free copy of The Relationship Handbook, A Simple Guide to Satisfying Relationships by George Pransky, and we'll be right back after this.
1, 2, 3, hit it!
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Welcome back indeed. We're talking about the myth of compatibility and how to make your relationships more wonderful. And let's go straight back to the phones. Let's go to Gladys in San Diego. Gladys, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today? Hello, Gladys.
Hello.
Hello there.
You just talked to me already.
I have? Oh, okay. So I apologize. I
was the last caller. I'm holding out for the book.
Oh God, I'm sorry. Okay. Well then we're going to come off the phones for a minute. My apologies. And let me go on to something else then, because there were a couple things that I just wanted to run through. And it's to do again with, I talk about the myth of compatibility, but there are a number of sort of relationship myths that are kind of, there's usually a grain of truth in them, but they really don't stand up. And one of them is the idea of being in love. You ever heard somebody say, and guys, you've probably heard this, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Well, there's a fundamental misunderstanding of how love works in that sentence. And that fundamental misunderstanding underlies a lot of the fundamental problems that people experience in their relationships. So if you, let's just take a closer look at what's implied in the language of that sentence. I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Okay, in the first part of the sentence, I love you, the word love is being used as a verb. So it's describing an activity. So if I was going to imagine watching a videotape of somebody engaged in the activity of loving another person, I might imagine seeing them sending positive energy through an intense smile, looking deeply into their eyes, giving a gift, performing an act of service, hugging, or depending on the videos you want to run in your mind, maybe something a little more explicit. And so you could actually fill in the blanks in that sentence, and you could say the first part of the sentence, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, is I am engaged in the activity of loving you. Now, the second part of the sentence, I'm not in love with you, the word love is being used as a noun. And specifically, it's being used as a description of a space that you can either be in or out of. It's like, I'm in France with you. I'm in California with you. I'm in love with you. So if you wanted to fill in the blanks in that sentence, you could say, I am not in a state of love when I am with you. So there's a couple of things worth noting. So the first is the activity of loving another person is always a choice. In other words, it's always going to be something you're either doing or not doing at any given moment. And you can choose to love somebody, in other words, engage in the activity of loving them, regardless of how they're behaving and regardless of how they feel about you. But the second point, in some ways, it's more important. And The second point is that being in love with anyone or anything is also a choice. In other words, just in the same way as you can love someone, you can engage in the activity of loving them, you can also choose to be in a state of love with anyone or anything, regardless of how they're behaving, regardless of how they feel about you. The problem is, because we habitually talk about being in love like something that either happens to us or it's not happening to us, we think we're at the effect of it. It's either there or it isn't. But in fact, we're at choice. And the only two reasons that we don't live our lives from a place of love that I can tell are, one is we don't know how to access it. We haven't really developed the skill of accessing our good feelings. And just skills need to be developed, you know. If you're going to dismiss the value of loving or the possibility of being in love because, you can't do it very well. I mean, that's like being a little kid dismissing the value of walking as a means of getting around because they're not very good at it yet. You know, unless you recognize loving and being in love as choices, the fact is you probably haven't spent that much time working on mastering them. So that's one thing. The second thing is permission. Okay. Do you have your own permission? Would you like, if I could wave my magic wand and make it so that you were able to be in love with everyone and everything in your life, would you want me to wave the wand? Now, bizarrely, not everyone answers yes to that because, you know, they think, well, no, I want love is a special gift. And if I'm lucky, I'll fall into it with only one person and I hopefully won't fall out of it until death do us part. But if you take this understanding of what it means to be in love, that it's about being in a state of love when you're with somebody, the question is different. The question now becomes, would you like to be able to be in a state of love when you're with everyone and everything, anyone and anything in your life? And if your answer is not a resounding yes, what's holding you back from experiencing more love in your life isn't your partner, it's not your husband, it's not your wife, it's not other people, it's not fate, it's not even skill, it's just permission. And until you give yourself permission to be in a state of love with the people in your life, you probably won't be. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that before we're done. But, you know, let me go back to the phones. Let's go to Janelle in Memphis. Janelle, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
I met a guy recently, and at the beginning, things were really, really, really good. Things didn't change until my thoughts started changing.
Can you just speak up a little bit for me, Janelle? I'm just having a little trouble hearing you.
Okay.
Thank you.
It may be my phone. I'm sorry.
Oh, there you go. No, that's perfect.
Okay. I met a guy not long ago, and at the beginning, things were great. Things still are somewhat great, but I think that in my mind, I think that he doesn't esteem me as high as I would like him to. Things that didn't bother me that he said before now all of a sudden bother me. And mm-hmm. I haven't known him that long, so for me to have the thoughts that I have, I think is kind of, you know, wrong. I don't know. I'm not probably...
Okay, no. So again... This is actually great, and again, this is actually probably simpler than you think it is.
Okay.
It's never wrong to have a thought, okay? Thoughts come into our head, but it's only the thoughts that we pay attention to and decide are important that have an impact on our lives. And the thing is, most of us aren't sitting there consciously choosing, you know what, this is a thought worth engaging with. This is just a thought that's flashing through my head. And part of the myth of compatibility, part of how you get past that is by recognizing that, you know, particularly when you're not in a great space in yourself, you're going to tend to have more thoughts flowing through your head that are crappy and about how crappy your life is or your relationship or something else. And if you make those thoughts important, you're going to create more and more of that in your life. If you dismiss those thoughts and go, you know what? I know I'm in a bad mood right now. I'm not going to take my thinking terribly seriously.
Right.
But I'll look at this again when I'm feeling good. Then when you're in a good space and you look at it, chances are what you're going to actually notice is, you know what? Yeah, there's some things that are different, but, you know, that's fine. They're just an opportunity to learn. That's just a different point of view. True compatibility is about sharing positive feelings and enjoying the time you spend together. It's not about thinking alike. It's not about having the same point of view. And in a way, the point of marriage, if marriage needed a point, is to enjoy sharing your lives and good feelings together and to learn and to grow, which is a lot easier to do if you don't have all the same opinions and all the same ideas and all the same behaviors.
Well, what I've noticed is that this has become a pattern for me. When I sat back and thought about it, I could see how my mind and the way that I thought about things changed several different relationships in the past that were going mm-hmm. smoothly until I put my mind power into it.
Right. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is, because you've already got a couple experiences of just how powerful your mind power is.
Right.
Is to put your mind power to work for you this time.
Right.
And start to focus on, even if it feels really fake at first, start to focus on those things that you really do respect about him and those areas of genuine affinity that you have. Start to focus on what you can agree with. It's like, you know, I was talking with that woman earlier and she was talking about, well, he doesn't pay for me. Well, you can focus on him not paying for you and what, and that means he doesn't love me. Or you can focus on, wow, he's really kind to his mom. I love that.
Right.
And when you put your mind power on those things, you're going to find more and more and more of them. And your best compass is your mood. Because when you're in a low mood or when you're feeling distant, when you're feeling like, oh, you know, this is just incompatible, you know that the thoughts in your head are crappy, for lack of a better word. You know,
thanks so much.
That's,
could you give me the name of the book again? I wasn't listening.
I'm not only going to give you the name of the book. If you hang on the line, I'm going to give you the book. It's called The Relationship Handbook. And it's by George Pransky. And if you hang on the line, they'll get your name and address, and they'll send you out a copy of the book.
Thank you so much.
All right, Janelle, thanks for phoning in. Okay, I think we got time for one more. Let's go to Christian in North Carolina. Christian, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi. I have been listening.
Sorry, is it Christian
and
or Christiane?
It's Christian.
It's Christian, okay. No.
Yes, it is. But I have had... I've been listening to the other people and learned some from that. But my husband and I have a major communication problem when it comes to talking about our relationship or each other. If we can talk about anything else, but every time we start talking about any problems that if I say, you know, well, I feel like this, oh, it ends up being immediately he turns around and says, well, you did this, and this 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like every time I express any kind of feeling to him from me, how I feel, he automatically covers it up with something I did a year
mm-hmm.
ago. It might be 10 years ago that I did it. I mean,
right.
We've been married for 11 years, but
right.
we never get to really discuss the problem at hand, ever. And I just wanted to know if you had some kind of input on how I can get him to do that.
Yeah, well, I think there may be part of the problem is in the get him to do that bit. But here's a couple of things around it, and then you can kind of tell me if that will address it for you or if you're able to take it from there.
Okay.
One is when I hear a story like that, what I know is that he's feeling really insecure.
Okay.
Because that's why somebody responds like that. What they hear, what you say is, I'm upset. And what they hear is, I'm upset and it's your fault.
Right.
Now, you may or may not be adding that in without the words, energetically.
And I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
And that's fine. I totally believe that. That's very often people aren't. But
because I used to.
Right.
I
so really when I'm insecure... You know, that's what I do. My youngest daughter, Maisie, is 5. And, you know, if we say to her, Maisie, no, she'll put her hands over her ears and go, stop shouting at me.
Right.
Because what she's hearing in her head is completely different to what we're saying. And it's because she's insecure about that in those moments. So
right.
If you know that what's going on there is he's feeling insecure and that's his response, that's the worst possible time to try and have a conversation about it.
Right. And he said that to me before. And he says, okay, it's not the time when I come home. It's not the time in the mornings. It's not the time before we go to bed. And I'm sitting here going, okay, don't call me on the phone and talk about it. And I'm like, you just shut me completely out.
Well, but okay. So, but you know, the next question just becomes, when would be good for you?
Right. And I've asked him that.
Okay.
Asked him that. And
right. And what does he say?
He'll give me an answer, and Joey never gives a specific answer. He never gives a answer that I could actually come to him and then say, well, you said this was the best time.
Let me ask you a different question, Christian. If you never have this conversation, do you think you could go through life and have a wonderful life and have a wonderful time together without ever having this conversation? If you had to?
I really don't know, because I am a very, very, very vocal person. I have my feelings. And I've tried very hard not to, and balled them up inside. And then when I didn't verbalize them and I didn't say anything, it got way worse later because I held them inside.
Notice though, that there's a big difference between expressing your feelings verbally to your husband and and repressing and balling them up inside. There's a whole range of options in between those two. So I agree with you. I don't think it's ever going to be a good thing to repress an emotion. But that's different from choosing not to express it in certain contexts.
Okay.
Doesn't mean you don't feel it. Just means you don't talk about it then or to that person. Because you know that that's where their insecurity. Everyone's got different insecurity triggers. You've got them. I've got them.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, when somebody's in their insecurity, they can't relate well. They're going to, because they feel like they're under attack, even if it's completely in their head. So if what it took for you to have a wonderful relationship with your husband going forward was to just find a different way of handling that one thing for yourself, not repressing, but just simply choosing not to express it to him, I think what you're going to find is you're going to be able to relate just fine, and you'll find your own way of doing that. So it's something to play with. You can always call in. You can always write to the forums, geniuscatalyst.com, and I'll be happy to answer further questions there. Thank you very much for phoning in. If you guys have enjoyed the show, you can visit geniuscatalyst.com. There's free tips. There's the Solutions Cafe. There's a one-year course. My thanks to Joe, Sonny, and Steve in studio today. We will be back with Genpo Roshi in a very special show next week, where we'll be sharing the Big Mind process. Till then, have fun, learn heaps. I'll see you soon.